conflict once again in the Middle East catching the market's attention. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're being joined today by Arlen Suderman over at StoneX, and it seems like that memorandum of understanding didn't last very long.
No, it didn't. And I'm not surprised by it at all. It was my belief that Iran's Revolutionary Guard would continue to poke the bear, create disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz, maybe hitting a ship just often enough to keep energy prices elevated, keep pressure on President Trump, ultimately hoping that high gasoline prices in the United States would cost President Trump losing Congress, and that if he lost Congress, then that the new Congress would require him to pull back troops from the Middle East, and then they would feel like they won and they could do what they want in the Middle East. And I think that was their philosophy, their desire. Their problem was, as much as they were doing, crude oil was already back to pre-war levels and gasoline prices were heading in that direction. So it wasn't creating enough problems. They felt like President Trump would not react because he wanted to keep gasoline prices. So they were pushing how much can we get away with and keep prices elevated. And so they increased the attacks on ships, hitting three within 24-hour period. And that was enough to push President Trump to essentially declare the ceasefire over and to revoke the waiver on Iranian oil sales so that they could no longer sell oil to generate revenue, and then to make significant attacks on Iran last night with more possible tonight. And so it may have backfired on them. It does have energy prices higher today, but unlike the last time, we're not seeing grain and oilseed prices follow, with the exception of soybean oil, which is following crude oil higher.
And that should come as no surprise that those two are pretty much hooked at the hip.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, basically what we saw when crude oil prices went well over $100 is we saw global demand for biofuels increase, anything that would replace fossil fuels, essentially. And so that expectation is there once again. Soy oil is one of the prime feedstocks for producing biomass diesel in the United States, and so therefore it definitely increases demand for that and given its support. That does provide a little bit of a floor underneath of soybean prices, and we saw that helping to reduce losses today. Early in the day, it provided support. Then it was reduce losses that we're seeing. When you look at it from the standpoint of the Brazil farmer, he has 50% more crop to sell than the U.S. farmer does. They produce about half again the size of soybean crop as what we do here, and they sell it all against the Chicago Board of Trade. So when they see the rally that we had, November soybeans above $12, and they see China start to buy soybeans from the United States, knowing that's going to displace soybeans they could sell to China, and their basis is now currently pretty strong levels, or it has been, they want to sell before that basis collapses. And so there's some incentive for them to sell at these price levels. And I think that's a piece of what we're seeing. Also, the midday GFS American model came back notably cooler, reversing yesterday's trend for the week two forecast, and that added to the losses late morning.
And that's good to see, because it was going to hit some key pollination times, which was a concern for this corn.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of disagreement between weather models. The European model is normally a highly respected model, but it's been consistently hot-based this summer, overestimating temperatures. So forecasters have put less confidence in it. Some of the other models have been much cooler, and then you find everything in between. Our partners at Commodity Weather Group are leaning toward the cooler. Okay, saying hotter than 2015, but cooler than recent years. So not really problematic, but periodic injections of heat. Obviously, if your corn's pollinating, you don't want the heat when your corn is pollinating. but you probably want it when everybody else's corn is pollinating to help your yields at the same time everyone else's is hurt so you can have a higher price.
Nice to see that there's some proof in this China talk of making some more bean purchases. And I understand, too, Arlen, there might be some other opportunities for corn and wheat in there as well.
Well, what they agreed to, which they have never confirmed in writing, but neither have they denied, was 25 million metric tons for the next marketing year of soybeans. This last year, they bought 12 million metric tons, so that would be more than doubling that. So 25 million metric tons of soybeans and $17 billion of other ag commodities. So what will be in that mix? Will they even keep their promise? That's one question. The fact that President Xi and President Trump will meet possibly three more times this year, with President Xi planning on coming to the United States in, I believe, September, means they have to do something in order to keep President Trump from pressuring them more and to maintain access to U.S. consumer markets. So they have to do some buying. The word on the street in China is that their intent is to buy 15 million metric tons of soybeans by the end of this calendar year as a show of good faith. Why 15 by then? Well, by then they'll know if President Trump's going to hang on to Congress or not. If he loses Congress, maybe they don't have to buy the other 10 million metric tons, but if he does or strengthens his position in Congress, maybe they do. USDA has about that 15 million metric tons built in, but what about these other commodities? How do they make up 17 billion and what progress do they make toward that? They're already buying grain sorghum. They're buying some pork. Their quota allotments with Brazil and Australia have essentially hit their caps. So do they start buying beef now from the United States? There are quota allotments for beef. Do they start buying beef from the United States? What about corn? What about wheat? We're anticipating some type of a mixture in there. They've been snooping around, kicking the tires for corn and soft wheat, but no evidence yet that they've actually bought any.
What about this winter wheat? I mean, we knew that it was a struggle from the get-go. Now you're saying the worst final ratings on record in the past 40 years?
Yeah, exactly right. USDA has been keeping condition ratings since 1986, and I've been converting those into condition index scores, which take all five categories of good, excellent, fair, poor, and very poor, factoring it into one index score. And as I track that for the final number of the growing season, this is the lowest number of all of those years that we've had. So the poorest condition winter wheat crop that we've experienced over the last 40 years. And I hear farmers out there saying, then why don't we have higher prices? Because we still have Black Sea wheat competing with us in the Western Hemisphere. And so that takes away export demand from us, hurts our demand. And so that's been a major problem.
And finally, another drop in the cattle market. Have we kind of hit this plateau for a while?
Yeah, one more time. How many times have we answered that question or discussed that question over the past couple of years? But one more time, we're turning lower. We started off with some concerns about product demand when we were up there trading the nearby live cattle futures contract, the August contract at that 250 level. And so we started lower and the chart started getting some negative signals again and the funds started selling. And then now with the war kind of resuming and inflation risk rising again, the funds got nervous today, added to that selling. Also, the cash market turning weaker as well as those who have hedged against those futures prices take advantage of some basis opportunities at these lower futures and sell at a lower cash price.
Arlen Sunderman joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.